Every week on The Business of Family Business, we tell the stories of family businesses across the St. Louis region. This week, a very special company founded in 1892. Now on their fourth generation of ownership, it's Niebling Auto Repair. I am your host, Ryan Recker. We tell their story today on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. Introduce you to Tom and Abby Niebling. Tom is the fourth generation owner of Niebling Auto Repair, and Abby, a fifth generation, is also involved in the business. We're also joined with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Let's start with Tom Niebling. I guess I want to start off by talking about the history of Niebling Auto Repair. So how many years has the company been in business, Tom?
Well, we've been in business since 1892. My great grandfather came from Germany, a little town called Offerdingen in Germany. He came through Philadelphia. His sister was there, was here already, and he met up with her. And shortly after he got here, he opened a wagon shop. They made wagons and carriages,
right?
And then ended up going into mostly building tradesmen's vans, with specific wagons for different industries. Like plumbers had certain styles, and
of
vegetable
wagons.
Vendors had certain styles, and paper delivery had a certain style wagon. And he custom make those for for each different style.
So it wasn't auto repair; it was wagon, and
it was
created these things. Wow!
So this year we're celebrating 125 years.
It's remarkable.
Same as the St. Louis Cardinals, by the way.
Wow. So you got to mention that, too. All family owned since then. The lineage of the company has been passed down for those 125 years.
That's correct.
That's amazing. When you started researching the history of your company, you probably had a lot of stories inside the family already where people, you know, your father would tell you or your grandpa would tell you, and the stories were passed down generation to generation. But you're also saying that some of this history was documented. You can see it in the museums around town.
Yeah. My father, before he passed away, I mean, probably 25, 30 years ago, after he retired, he ended up digging into, the history. Got a lot of information from St. Louis History Museum, and as did my, I've got a second cousin that got into the genealogy, too.
Okay.
We kind of trade information.
Where was the original location? Do you know?
It was down in downtown, off-Broadway area, and some of those street names changed names after, well, they called it a cyclone back then. It was a tornado.
Okay.
And of 1896, the one that took out Lafayette Square, and it was a huge tornado. It was actually two of them that came together. And so we don't know for sure exactly what's, can't go to a spot today and say it was here, but we know it was right in that area. And then after that, he moved to 12th Street, and that building's still standing.
Right. What year was that?
It was 1898 when his other building was built.
Now, you mentioned the tornadoes. Your company, well, the family business, was affected by that tornado.
Yes. It was Lewis Niebling.
Lewis
carriages
Niebling.
And wagons.
Yeah. Okay. And what happened at that tornado? Was the company wiped out? Building?
The building was totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. And he was basically out of business for about a little better than a year. His sister loaned him some money to help him get going again.
Yeah.
So it was, it was before insurance, really. But he got going again and built it up quite well.
Yeah. It was only a few years into the company at that point.
That's correct. Yeah.
So there was some question, if it wasn't for family to help, the company wouldn't be around 125 years
no,
later.
No, that's correct. And even somebody that wasn't involved in the business.
Yes. Abby, you're the fifth generation.
Yes.
So what does this mean to you when you hear stories like this going back to the very beginning of the business?
It's just really interesting. I love to get into history, too. So to be able to trace your roots back that far, a lot of people can't do that just in their genealogy, but to be able to do it with a business is pretty neat. And it just gives you a lot of pride, walk around town and introduce yourself and people are like, oh, Niebling, are you related to the Niebling, auto repair on Kings Highway? Well, yeah, that's my mom and dad's business. It's pretty neat to be able to kind of claim that.
The business and the company founded in 1892. After the tornado, what happened with the company? Because soon after, it seems like automobiles started to become much more popular.
Well, they did. And then my great-grandfather went from making wagons to basically manufacturing truck bodies. Mm-hmm. The customers would bring their chassis from Doris or Federal or Moon or different car manufacturers. There were many in St. Louis at the time. I think St. Louis Motor Car Company was another name. But they would bring their just the bare chassis in, and then he would manufacture, make these wooden truck bodies for them for their individual needs.
I can imagine seeing it for the first time saying, where does the horse go? After something like that. But it kind of continued on. So the course of the company, 125 years, only a small amount of time was actually on wagons. And then after that, it switched over to automobiles.
My grandfather obviously worked in a company as a kid. He, when he got involved, he ended up going in the Army in World War One, mm-hmm. and came back with a real interest in mechanization. You could see what the Army was doing, mechanizing everything, and kind of figured that, you know, this was something they should be thinking about.
Yeah.
And,
so like reverse engineering, kind of like you saw what some other people were doing. He was able to take that knowledge and apply it to his own purposes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, basically, they started repairing their own customers' wagons because the warranties on these vehicles were nothing back then. You know, a good blacksmith could make almost any part you were going to need. You know, they had those people there working for them. And I've still got some of the books that he read on, you know, automotive electricity and how the auto engine, which is the four-stroke internal combustion engine, functioned. And, you know, all these books that he read to just kind of self-educate him in auto repairs.
What about for, like, your father and you? Did you have that same fascination?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked on bicycles in our basement. I just always...
That's how you learn to do things, though, right?
I worked there after school in high school, and I always stayed until Dad left. Piddled, you know, I mean, just... I was sweeping floors and washing parts, but then I always tried to figure stuff out.
Yeah. You know? We continue our talk with Niebling Auto Repair, 125 years as a family business. Remarkable. What about that fifth generation, Abby Niebling, her history of growing up in the business and what those ambitions may lead her to in the future? That's up next on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. And as you're starting to get more familiar with Niebling, you start to hear how the next generation plays its own part. And as a business owner, Tom also talking about the decisions he makes and what it's like to think about transitioning. Is it right for the next generation? CMA Consulting, they are leading a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and also develop them to be effective owners, and then align the current generation together, if that's the ambition. Obviously, each family is different, so that's why they're talent experts looking to see which people fit in the right role. And their experts will also help you figure out things like tax and accounting and banking and risk management. It's all covered under CMA Consulting. They'll help increase the odds of a successful generational transition and keep your family in harmony. If you run a family business, reach out to my friends at CMA Consulting. They have a complimentary, no-obligation meeting. They'll discuss your family business, maybe an upcoming transition, or even the Business of Family Business Ownership Program, which starts in the first quarter of 2018. It's almost here. I can't believe how quick it'll be. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for your family business. The website that every family business should bookmark, cmaconsult.com. Highlighting family businesses from across the St. Louis region. Today, we're talking to Niebling Auto Repair with both Tom and Abby Niebling. If you have a family business or you know of a family business that you would like to get their story out, we would like to hear from you. Go to cmaconsult.com, reach out to Dan Bean, let them know, and maybe we can highlight them on a future episode. Abby, where were your interests growing up?
Well, I was also sweeping floors and more cleaning bathrooms and stuff at a very young age. And I always been mechanical as well, you know, trying to figure things out, whether it's in school, biology class or thing, you know, but also mechanical. I didn't think I wanted to be a mechanic growing up.
Okay.
But still don't want to, you know, necessarily be a mechanic, but got more interested in the business side when I went away to college, went to the University of Missouri Columbia, learning more of the business aspect of it. And so that's where I've kind of used my knowledge to come back into the business.
So you went to college and you took business classes.
Mm-hmm.
So before you went to college, did you always have the type of ambition to maybe one day take over the family business?
No.
No. Okay. So you just wanted to learn business independently and you thought, well, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Being only child, my parents never made that expectation that I would take over the family business, which I think is great because you want to do what you want to do as well. Yeah. So you don't want to be pressured into anything. But coming back, it's been interesting. It's, you know, we have our good days and our bad days working together as family, but I've learned a lot and I've been able to go and open my own separate business as well because of everything that they've both my parents, my mom and my dad being very involved and hands on, you know, what they've taught me has enabled me to grow as well.
Tom, how did you first show interest in the company? And did you have any brothers or sisters that were also in the company?
My older brother, we all worked there. Everybody in the family has worked there at one time or other. My sister ran the office for a number of years. My older brother worked there and absolutely hated, well, he was just totally mechanically inept.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, great guy, but totally mechanically inept. So he never showed any interest in it. And then I had a younger brother that's, both of those are deceased now, but he was a mechanic and he was a good mechanic. He did some other things. And then Mark, he was working there, my youngest brother, who's still around, but he got involved. He worked for the Blues and got involved in PR and just took off from there.
Yeah. So, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, 125 years in business. You work with a lot of different family businesses. How hard is it to even hit the century mark, let alone 125?
It's very difficult. So Tom is generation four. About two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition at each generation. So to get to, of all the family businesses started, about 3 or 4% make it to G4, which is where Tom is. And Abby, I think you're an only child. So if this goes, if we have to assume you are Tom's successor, you'll be in the 1% category. So G5, about 1% of family businesses make it to the fifth generation.
Wow. Tom, are you thinking about retirement sometime soon?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, how old was your dad when he retired?
He was right around 60.
Okay.
62.
And how old are you, can I ask?
I'm 70.
Okay. But you've thought about it at least. Like, what's going to happen?
And I think about, well, what am I going to do if I retire? And it doesn't look as inviting.
But you enjoy what you're doing, so it makes it easy to continue.
But my body's starting to change.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
And
can I ask why cars are built in a way where it's very hard to swap parts out anymore? It seems like it was easier even 10 years ago.
It's the same question we ask every day, many times a day.
So why do they put this part here? Why do they do that?
I don't know, but it sure helps us. But but it is frustrating in a way. But engineers will tell you that part shouldn't go bad.
Yeah, right.
So
shouldn't go bad.
But they do.
When it comes to a business that changes, because the industry changes a lot, automobiles, I mean, I even think from when I was growing up, just little things like cranking those windows down compared to now, almost it's voice activated. You can probably say, roll the window down and it'll do it here in the future. How hard is it to keep up on everything the automobile industry is throwing at you?
It's not easy. I mean, we spend time in classes and clinics every year.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, they're easier to diagnose, and in other ways, they're much, much more difficult.
Right.
I mean, the computers are helping us diagnose them, but they just, there's a myth out there that we plug in and ask a computer and tells us what part's bad.
Mm-hmm.
The computer will generate a number, and that number tells us what troubleshooting tree to use to find the problem.
Right.
But it doesn't tell us what it takes to fix the car.
Most likely to least likely, or something like that. Not quite.
No. There's this, an old story about if a car manufacturer developed a troubleshooting chart for your house, if you came in and flipped on a light and it didn't come on, they'd have you go out and shinny up the pole and measure the voltage at the pole and then ohm out the wire from the pole to the house and then ohm out the fuse or circuit breaker and then ohm out the wire from the circuit breaker to the switch and then an ohm out the switch to the fixture.
You should really change the light bulb.
Thank you. That's exactly right.
What about your side, Abby, on the business side? Lots of different trends happen in business. People, they start to advertise in different ways. They start to get their name out in different ways. What's your role in the company? What are some of the things that you're doing? How have you seen that change over the years?
So my title, if you have to pick one, would be shop manager. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wear a lot of different hats. I work, help my mom in the office doing some of the bookkeeping things. Yeah. A year and a half ago, taking the company from carbon copy invoices, where, we kept the hard copy on file in about 20 filing cabinets with as many customers as we've had over the years, to now doing, online electronic ticketing. That has been a very big challenge, getting the guys at the shop to kind of work with the new technology. You can give them any technology that plugs into a car and they'll be, using it like a pro in a few days, but try and getting them to type in a customer's name and phone number on the keyboard and it's...
And hit save.
And remember to hit save. That could be a challenge. So we're definitely testing if we can teach an old dog new tricks. Sorry, Dad.
If you're part of a family business, you know that sometimes the kids want to solve problems in different ways than the parents, and sometimes that causes some conflicts. We're going to talk about that coming up next on The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. Our conversation with Niebling Auto Repair continues on KMOX. If you're a family business, there's a lot you can learn by hearing other people's stories. And if you have a story to share, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting, cmaconsult.com. We would like to hear your story and maybe even highlight it on this show, because this week we're talking to Niebling Auto Repair, Tom and Abby Niebling. We continue our conversation on The Business of Family Business. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Is that kind of the thing that you see in a lot of different family businesses, teaching the old dog new tricks when the new generation comes in, regardless of what generation that is?
So every business owner that takes over feels like the prior generation almost always was starting to lose touch with the marketplace trends. Mm-hmm. And each new leader that takes over tends to act like a booster stage on the rocket and propel the business onto a higher level, because mm-hmm. they have new ideas, they have new energy, they're willing to take risks, they have a longer time frame than the generation that was passing the baton. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have a much longer time frame, so they tend to give the business a boost. Mm-hmm. And that happens at most every generation. And it's particularly acute around technology. My daughters grew up with different technology than I do, and Abby grew up with different technology than Tom. And then her children, if she has them someday, they will grow up with a way different technology than she did. So that's right. Just the way things happen. And so we see that next generation tend to give the business a boost because of the change and innovation they bring to it.
So, Tom, let's kind of look at how you started. So it was your great-grandfather that started Niebling Auto Repair. And then when it was ready to pass down, who took the company over after that?
My grandfather did.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So your grandfather did.
Yeah, and he's the one that moved from 12th Street down to South St. Louis, down Kings Highway, in 1927.
Right.
He just, that was a growing area of the city at the time. Yeah. He moved down there.
1927. That's when did correct. Your dad take over?
I don't know. In the early 50s, my dad and my uncle, after dad was in the Army Air Corps in World War II, my uncle flew a fighter in the Pacific, they came back and they grew up in the business. I mean, they worked there when they were kids,
Right.
But then they, after they got out of service, they both started working there. It was probably in the early 50s when they kind of moved Grandpa out. Then they worked together, and we had both the body shop and the mechanical shop in that same building. But in 1968, when I was away at service, they bought an existing body shop on Merrimack and Gravel. My uncle ended up running the body shop over there, moving all the body shop business over there, and my dad ended up running the mechanical shop.
Did they both own separate entities, or was it still together at that time?
No, it was all one. One entity.
So who owned the company? Did they both own it? A sole?
Yes, they both
50-50.
Owned the business. Grandpa still owned the property on Kings Highway, but they brought the property over on Merrimack.
Okay.
So there were a couple entities involved.
They both owned the company for how many years?
Oh.
A while.
Yeah, 20, 30 years.
Okay. So what happened to the transition to you? How did that come about?
Well, after I got out of the Army, my cousin was a few years younger than me, and he went on to get a master's degree, and I got out of the Army and went back to St. Louis University and got a degree in industrial administration from there. But I still, the automotive repair business, we'd both grown up in the business too, me and my cousin, and so we approached my dad and my uncle and said, you know, here's something I think would work for us. And they said, well, that might not work all that good, but this would work for us.
So negotiation started.
It went pretty good. I had an uncle that was an accountant, and he really helped that along.
So your dad wanted to see the company stay in the family.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
your
did.
Uncle, too.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think Grandpa wanted to leave when he did, though.
No, either. No. But I really think it was that allowed him to live till he was 86.
Okay.
I think if he'd have stayed on, because it was really starting to wear on him.
And sure.
He'd had his first heart attack by then. And yeah, I think he benefited from it. And he came back. He used to come back all the time and visit customers and kind of kibitz around the shop, and it was fine. He filled in when I ended up, my older brother needed a kidney, and I donated a kidney to him, and Dad came back and ran the shop until I recovered. So, and that was not easy for him either. He was wore out at the end of that time, he said.
Well, when did you and your cousin approach them to try to talk about transferring ownership of the company?
That was in the 70s sometime.
That was a long time. It's 70s then. Yeah, because this is almost pretty close to after you came back from the service.
Yeah, I got out of service in 1970. I think it was in 78 or 79.
Okay.
This may have been 77.
I'm
not sure. I don't pay attention to
that. And you have a kidney scar today.
Yes, I do.
You do. Is that on the back or is that the front?
Well, this was...
I don't need to look at it.
The old days, so yeah. It went from here to here.
Oh, wow.
All the way front to back, yeah.
How about that? You know, talking about the family and the generations, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you mentioned that this in particular interview was requested by someone that listens to the show. They wanted to hear the story of Niebling Auto Repair.
Yes, so I understand it's one of their... I do not know the individual, but Tom and Abby know the individual. I understand he is one of their very loyal customers, and I think it's great that a customer of a business nominated that business to be on this show, and we would love to hear from other listeners if they have a family business that they think their story is compelling and meaningful to help other family businesses learn things. Let me know, and we're happy to try to get them on the show.
Yeah, you mentioned, too, that sometimes you even learn about second or third generation customers. So you're in the fourth generation.
This particular customer that Dan was just talking about, we worked on his mother's and father's cars, and we're working on his children's cars today. And
that's great.
Probably soon to be grandchildren's.
So you know the family. When they come in, it's a special bond that you have with some of these customers because they've been around. You knew their parents and sometimes grandparents even.
Yeah, my wife, who works in the business, has been a tremendous help. And my daughter will always come out and say, you know, let the man go. So we'll be out there talking about old times on the parking lot way too much. But
we call it getting the hook.
Getting the hook.
I gotta go get
As
the
in,
hook.
Uh-huh. No, I get that. What are some of the stories and things they've seen over the years? Tom and Abby Niebling from Niebling Auto Repair, 125 years in the community, a remarkable run that continues to this day. We'll get some of those stories coming up next as we continue with the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. As you heard, two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition, which makes this story quite unique. 125 years in St. Louis is absolutely amazing, meaning that maybe your family business, if you're part of one, you are thinking about what happens next. If you're the owner, one day you may retire or step down. Most family businesses may identify who the next successor will be, but very few actively work to unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. This is where CMA Consulting has created the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. It's designed to bring up topics to support effective family business ownership. Unify, develop, align. Use the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. It begins in the first quarter of 2018. Go to cmaconsult.com to learn more about that, or you can give them a call, 314-721-1860. To see if this program is right for your family business. Again, the website you need to know if you're a family business. Don't hesitate to reach out. It doesn't hurt. CMAconsult.com. We continue one last time with Niebling Auto Repair. Both Tom and Abby Niebling joins us on the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. And if you would like to listen back to some of the great family business stories that we've shared in the past, go to KMOX.com. And in the podcast section, click the Business of Family Business. Is there any talks of moving any type of the company along? Because I asked you a little earlier about retirement. You're not ready at that point. But have you got to the point where you've talked about, okay, this is what's going to happen at least eventually?
We talk about it.
Sure. Do you talk about it at work or do you talk about it at home?
Yes.
Both. So it's a common conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, obviously you want to keep it in the family. So it's just trying to find the right time.
Yeah. And make sure that it's would be a fit for her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to force her into anything. She's got a very successful business too.
Right.
Yeah.
Abby, your business that you also have, Abigail's Gift Boutique?
Yep. So we just go by Abigail's as well.
Abigail's.
Yeah, we're on Southampton, also in South City. Picked that area because of area I grew up in, where my parents' business is located. Customers are great. We've been there in South City for going on our fourth year. We just moved into a larger location at the beginning of this year as uh-huh. well. So we're right next to the new Salt and Smoke on Hampton. I know a lot of people know that great restaurant.
So your time, is it divided or for the most part, do you spend more time on your own business or you do a lot of time in both?
I would say a lot of time at both, and it depends on the time of year. Being the holiday season and gift giving is key, where I'm spending more of my time at Abigail's right now. We're open every day of the week between like now and Christmas. So pretty much December, they don't see me very much at the auto repair. I still touch base with my parents about, you know, HR matters or anything that's going on so that we're all on the same page, which I think is really important. But then during the auto repair's busy season, you know, through the spring, summer, and fall months, it's a little bit slower. So I can spend more time over there, especially my mornings. A lot of spend over at Niebling Auto, and good to see the customers and work with the guys at the shop too. So
where do you drink coffee at?
On my way to one of the two places.
On your way. Okay.
Yes.
So normally that's where the home base is, where you get coffee. That's how I always see it.
Yeah.
So you do it on the way over. I see.
Yes.
Do you guys have two locations currently?
When my cousin passed away and we separated the business, it took a number of years because our paperwork wasn't the best.
Okay.
Planning.
But
yeah,
the planning wasn't the best, but it worked out. There's a Niebling Auto Body in South St. Louis on Merrimack and Gravel in South City. And they, his cousin on his mom's side runs that. It's still the best body shop in St. Louis as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. They do great work, refer people over there all the time. Yeah. So,
yeah, we bought each other out.
I bought my cousin's portion of that business.
Okay.
I bought my cousin's portion of my business, and he bought his cousin's portion of my business. So it split the businesses back.
I see.
Totally separate.
So it still bears the name, but it's
That's
totally
correct.
Separate.
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys, obviously, you said you refer business back and forth to each other, so it's cordial in that sense.
Yeah. No, it's very, like I said, I mean, if they didn't do the best work, I wouldn't be mentioning them at all.
But. Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting.
So this is an instance where the ownership moved well outside of the Niebling family tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems logical that Tom and a very distant relative of a family member would buy each other's 50% out and separate the business. So they're two 100% standalone businesses now. But the fact that they still refer to each other says the transition went very smoothly.
Yeah.
So that probably is ownership following a route that it should have taken.
Tom, how many employees do you guys have now?
We've got eight right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not all of them are full-time, but you know, we've got eight.
Abby, what do you like about Niebling Auto Repair? Like, as someone that's in the company or someone that's in the business, you're not necessarily going up there lifting electric batteries or anything like that.
I would say every day is something new. If we're really busy, you will find me underneath the hood, either doing oil changes or brakes. There's a few things that I've learned throughout the years that I can do. So I will pitch in that way. But, you know, every day is something new. There's always new challenges. Mm-hmm. But I think the most it's the people, whether it's the customers that have come in and you hear the stories about how their grandparents brought their vehicles here and they're driving in from Baldwin because they trust us and their parents trusted us. And the employees, too. I mean, many of our employees have been with us. We just had one retire this last year who'd been with us at least 20-something years.
Great.
And Master Mechanics John, he's been there since I was crawling up on the counter when I was probably 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these guys are second dads, which makes it interesting to manage sometime.
What's the highest mileage you've seen with a car that's came in?
Personally, in the last year, seen one over 400.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Great.
So
we've got one in right now with over 300 on it.
I've always wanted to hit the 300 club. I'm trying to get up to that point.
Follow your vehicle's
377.
Yeah.
Follow your vehicle's recommended maintenance schedule and you can make it.
Can I ask what's the biggest nightmare you've seen come in? Is there something like they tried to fix this with a zip tie, they could have really hurt themselves type of moment? Do you see a lot of that?
We run into that all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I can't, but I mean,
there's too many.
Off the top of my head, there's too many to stuff where people will have made an attempt and end up costing them a lot more money.
Oh,
and believe me, I've got customers that do a lot of their own work.
Yeah.
And if I can give them advice or anything else, it's mm-hmm. fine. They'll bring it into me for something they can't handle, and I don't have any problem with them, you know, doing what they can handle.
There was once a Malibu that the young girl, I don't know if she was never taught, but we asked her when her last oil change was, and she said, "What's an oil change?" And we knew it was going to be a problem. We pulled the heads, and the oil was pretty much like goop, just sitting
like
there.
Molasses, so, almost.
Yeah, it ended up needing, needing a new engine. So there was a little education along that as well. You know,
Dan, you hear a lot of stories about family businesses. This is a very unique one. What are some of your thoughts on what you just heard about Niebling Auto Repair?
So the business is 125 years old. That's amazing. That legacy gives them a sense of heritage, of values, and reason for being that is rare. Not many businesses have that history, that richness of history going through tornadoes and depressions and world wars and everything they've been through, how many cycles of technology change they've been. So they've learned to adapt, and it's very clear that they didn't find the business is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a business defines its business as the product or services we provide, it's the beginning of the end, because that product or service is going to migrate when technology changes. So they didn't get stuck in what they did, so they've been able to adapt with the marketplace changes. The second thing, this family has decided we're going to be a small shop, a one-family business, and there's nothing wrong with that. Tom has very clearly practiced his craft, and he knows his customers intimately, probably better than most any business out there. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a very good avenue to choose, as opposed to some who want to grow the business and have 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 shops.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different vision. Neither one is right or wrong. It's what fits that family and that owner's vision and how they want to run their life and their business.
I'd like to thank Tom and Abby Niebling, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, sharing the story of Niebling Auto Repair on this edition of The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA, and we share family stories from all across the region. If you have a family business you love, or you're part of a family business, and you would like to tell your story, I know there's a lot of family businesses that listen to this program. We're about learning from each other's experiences here. Reach out to Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. Let them know you're interested in sharing your story. We'd love to highlight your family business here on the show. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Have a great day.